A lot of people think that follow up is calling or texting and saying, hey, I'm following up. If you say following up in your follow up, you're not following up. You're doing it wrong. We went from, you know, I was struggling for like $20,000, $30,000 a month. And then over the last few years, we've scaled it to we're just about to clip $1 million a month from contractors using this process to close more deals.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Good news. This episode comes with a special resource. My guest Ryan has analyzed hundreds and hundreds of sales follow-up sequences and figured out the exact words, phrases, and tactics that are statistically proven to close more deals. You can download the full report on this data in the link in the description. Ryan Fenn, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. Really honored to be here. Thank you.
You are the founder of Chirp, which is all things follow-up. And I am stoked to talk to you today about not only the best practices around how to follow up with our leads, with our customers, with our past estimates, but the data behind it. Because I think you, of all people, have this bird's eye view of, you tell me, but millions of messages that go out, maybe more, billions. I mean, you tell me how many messages go out in a year, but what actually works, what doesn't, and what are the patterns and behaviors that us as contractors need to adopt? So stoked to get into it with you today.
We've got about half a billion to analyze. So
Just a few.
Just a few.
Yeah. That's good. Well, you've been running Chirp for a while. Why don't you tell me, like, what got you into this business of follow-up anyways, especially for contractors?
Yeah. I want to go back in time a little bit because I think it's relevant to the entire conversation about the data. And it's kind of like the last 15 years of my entrepreneurial journey has kind of led to this. But I started a business, my first business. I'm not a tech guy. I didn't even finish high school. So I don't have I'm not from like MIT or something like that. This is all just bootstrapped, like me just figuring stuff out along the way. But I started a windshield repair business back in 2010. So now we're 16 years ago. I started it because I've always been entrepreneurial. I wanted to start a business, and I had been doing it for a guy. I was his salesman. And then I found out that he was doing some shady stuff with insurance, and so I had to quit. And it was actually pretty devastating because I just had my first son and I was really excited. The job was going really well. I was making great money. And once I found out he was doing shady stuff, I had to quit. But it ended up being really good because that was like my moment to strike out and strike out on my own, you know, get out there and do my thing. So I purchased a windshield repair kit. It was like $300, and it was a huge investment for me. And I bought this kit, and I didn't have a source of traffic. I had, when we were doing it with the other guy, we were doing it out of car washes. So cars would come in to get car wash and we would inspect their windshields. So it was a good lead source. And I got the kit and I just said, all right, well, I'm going to knock on my neighbor's door and see if they have a windshield they need fixed. And then I'll knock on my other neighbor's door. And then I just started knocking doors. And people were actually going, oh, you know what? I did get hit by a rock the other day. Can you come look at it? And I was actually making money doing it door to door. And it wasn't until I went through the whole summer, went pretty well. And then, you know, if you've ever gone door to door, it's not something you want to. What's that?
I've done a lot of door-to-door.
Yeah.
Also, I got started too.
So you know, and it's great, but it's not something you go and I want to do this the rest of my life. Yeah. So we knocked all summer, did pretty good, made some great money, was able to support my family. And I was visiting my family in California and I saw this girl at a gas station washing windshields as they were coming in for gas. And I was like, oh, that girl's smarter than I am. And, I'm out there going to cars and she's allowing cars to come to her by the hundreds, you know, but the question was always, you know, how do you convert somebody from coming to get gas into, you know, getting their windshield repaired? And the windshield washing was the bridge that she built. And I thought that was just brilliant. So the people would come in, they would be getting gas and she would offer to wash the windshield. And that gave her the opportunity to look at the windshield, check for damage, and then just go, hey, by the way, you know. And so I went home, I went to the gas station nearest my house, I went to the owner and I just said, hey, I want to wash people's windshields for free. It'll be good for you because, you know, you're a local business and people will appreciate the free service and such and such. And he said, cool. Yeah. So I started washing windshields, and this part of the story is very relevant. I'm going to get kind of deep into it because this is where I think as we get into the data, this part of the story is going to be really relevant. I approached the first person and I said, hey, welcome to Mike's Chevron. Can I wash your windshield for you? No. Next one. No, 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 no. 10 people, 9 people said yes. One person said, 9 people said no. One person said yes. So 90% failure rate on asking to wash their windshield. And I was a little discouraged because I'm like, man, I've got hundreds of people coming into this gas station. And if I can only look at 10 out of 100 windshields, I'm not going to make any money. And so I started testing what I was saying. And I discovered that just the slightest shift in my words made all the difference. So basically, I would walk up to the people and I changed it from, hi, welcome to Mike's Chevron. Can I wash your windshield for you? To, hi, welcome to Mike's Chevron. As a courtesy today, we're washing everybody's windshields.
Yeah.
Slightest change, right? If you weren't a sales guy, if you had no idea how conversion works, you would think you're saying the same thing. But literally went from 1 out of 10 saying yes to 9 out of 10 saying yes. And that shifted the whole dynamic of the whole thing, right? Because now I'm 10 out of 100 opportunities turns into 90 out of 100 opportunities. And now I can create a business. And I had my first, within figuring that out, I made $1,500 selling windshield repair at a gas station in one day. And that was huge, a huge breakthrough moment for me for business, because now I could scale. And we went into multiple gas stations, we got into multiple dealerships, and we were running a pretty tight little business. And I was making like $100,000 a year. And that was like, you know, that at the time was incredible. And then what happened from there is I got the idea to start an online course, how to start and grow your own windshield repair business. And I started doing little videos. I had a Mac Mini. And I would just sit there and do PowerPoint presentations. Here's what you say to the customer. Here's what you say to at the gas station. Here's how you get a gas station. Here's how you approach the owner. You know, and I built this little course, and I started selling that course on just different. I was running ads on Facebook. I put ads in like local classifieds, and I started to get people sign up for it. And I started getting leads through Facebook lead forms, which is a huge, it's still to this day, 10 years later, totally slept on traffic source, but I was getting leads through Facebook lead forms, but I was running into the same problem. They weren't on Facebook to get pitched, just like the people coming into the gas station were not there to get their windshield repaired. I had to bridge that gap. I had to find my windshield washing, you know, thing to turn them into actual leads. And so what I found was that I created a 1 minute, fairly entertaining, engaging video. If you remember the whiteboard, the auto whiteboard videos where a hand comes up and draws the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Very engaging, caught the eye, and kind of provides a little bit of entertainment, which is what people are on social media for. And so I'd provide them with a minute of entertainment, but also explained the windshield repair opportunity. They would then request information, and I had a lead. And I was getting leads for about $1 to $1.50. So I was getting like 100 to 200 leads a day. And if I called 100 leads myself, it was going to be impossible. And I found that if I texted them, they responded. So I would text the leads the moment they came in, and I would send them information. I'd send them a video or whatever. And I made like $2 million selling that course, all through selling it through text messaging. And that's when I got the idea for Chirp, which is what Chirp is, you know, part of what Chirp is now. But, you know, I made great money selling that course. And then I said, oh, I've got to build this process, this automated follow-up conversion process for other companies. And I built Chirp, and then same problems. It's like, just keep running the same problems. How do I convince people to buy this thing? And that took several years for me to really find the audience that wanted this product and that could really benefit from it. And so for a few years, we struggled finding, we were signing up anybody, real estate agents, restaurants, food trucks, e-commerce. And then, you know, some home service and home improvement guys came along. And that's when we really, like, I discovered, like, who really needed this the most and who could really benefit from it the most. And we started building these really cool integrations into different field service management softwares and all this stuff. And now we went from, you know, I was struggling like $20,000, $30,000 a month. And then over the last few years, we've scaled it to, we're just about to clip $1 million a month from contractors using this process to close more deals.
What is it about this space? What is it about the home service space that clicks so well for the need and the ROI driven from follow-up?
Well, it's because there's an actual sales process, right? There's all these nuances in the process of when a lead is generated all the way through to getting the review. There are so many opportunities for the lead to fall out of the funnel.
Yep.
Right? And what I discovered was before, right, I had one funnel, one process where it was like the lead comes in, I follow up, they book the deal, and they're done. With home services, there's a bit more to it. There's the schedule, there's the estimate, there's these different steps along the journey. And when I discovered that we could start plugging holes in more spaces than just at the beginning, we were plugging leaks in businesses where they didn't even know that they were losing money, right? Yeah. And it's like, whoa, I didn't realize that just because of this one thing in my sales journey, I'm losing 10% of my business, or I'm losing 5% over here, 6, you know, whatever. And we're finding all these little leaks and plugging them up, and people are going, oh, okay, now I've got this conversion machine. And when you have a conversion machine, that's when you can really turn up the marketing, because you know that the leads coming in are going to get the treatment they need to convert at the highest level. People always wonder, they go, how can that guy spend so much money to get a lead? And you've heard probably Gary Vaynerchuk say, he who can spend the most to get a customer wins.
Yeah.
Right. And because Google and anybody else, they're going to take whoever's going to pay them the most, right? They're cool with whatever, right? And so people go, I can't spend that much to get a lead. And you go, well, it's probably because, not because like the leads suck, it's because your conversion process sucks. And if we can fix the holes, now your conversion rate, let's just do some simple math. Let's say your conversion rate is 1 out of 5. And so you're spending $200 for a lead. That's $1,000 to get a deal. Let's say you can't afford that, but you go, well, what if we cut your conversion in half? Yep. Now you're 2.5. That's $500 to get a deal. That might make a lot more sense. And so now you can spend the $200 on a lead because you're converting at a higher rate. So once that is kind of like ingrained in your head where you can go, oh, marketing isn't my problem, lead generation isn't my problem, conversion is my problem, and if I can dial that in, then I have, the sky's the limit, you know?
Yeah, you're creating a predictable revenue machine, and then you basically now can just say, okay, how big do we want to be? How much of this lever do I need to turn up or down?
Right.
And production can be the dictator of that, not marketing. Yep. You're not subject to what comes in. You're subject to how much you can produce, which is a great place to be. So this is great, man. This is a great conversation, because I think so many people right now are kind of, they struggle with both, actually. They're like, I've got more work and I can't produce it all. Sometimes I've got, you know, not enough work and I've got too many people. And it's like, if we can balance those two equations and scientifically turn levers up and down we can actually run a company, right? And this is the struggle that I think a lot of people deal with, especially growing a business for the first time. They don't know these numbers. They don't know the opportunity cost that lies in this. So in today's conversation around follow-up, which is kind of your world, I would love to talk about words, which you started in your story a little bit about, and the power of them. I've definitely experienced it too, where you can go all in on words and have no results, or you can tweak a couple things and suddenly double your results. I want to go and talk about cadence, when and how often we should be doing follow-up, and then channel, texting, email, phone calls. How do we mix that in the right combo? So you've got some magic in what you do. Let's see if we can unravel that black box and see if we can give some people some thoughts. So
100%.
Let's start with words. And to go back to your story on this, of just like, I changed the language from like, do you want a windshield wash, to, hey, we were providing the service for you. I remember this as well. When I ran a painting company, I used to go door to door and say, do you want a free estimate? And nobody did. But when I stopped saying that and started saying, hey, I noticed your trim was peeling, I noticed your, and when was the last time you had XYZ done? the conversation got started and I unlocked something. And I remember that. I was like, man, the smallest change in how I start a conversation or how I pursue a conversation, it takes me down a deal or not deal. It's not necessarily the market. It's not necessarily how Trump's doing with Iran. It's not like all these external factors are great. It's my ability to have that right conversation early on. So when it comes to people and when it comes to the people you work with, especially in the contracting space, what have you learned about words that get replies that, and then words that kill deals? And what's important for us to know about this?
So yeah, I could, it's like, this is when people ask the question, what's the most important thing in business? This is it. Words is it. Like, words is all it is. There's a company just down the street from me. That's a pest control company. One of the biggest door knocking companies. I don't know if we're from Utah. We're door knockers, right? That's what we
do. I wonder why.
Yeah. And yeah, if we can sell religion, we can sell anything, right? So they sell pest control, and the guy that started it, he discovered that if he knocks on a door and he says, and looks at, he basically says, looks at his thing. And he says, "Hi, I'm with Altera. I'm taking care of your neighbors this week for pest control. And since I'm going to be here, I can do it for super cheap." That sentence made him like $100 million because he figured out that exact sentence. And then all he does is train sales guys to say that exact thing. He says, "Do not say anything else. This is it. Just do this thing." And then he makes tons and tons and tons of money. So I could say over and over again, I don't care what business you're in, roofing, siding, whatever. Words are the most important thing. And they're the difference between somebody that makes $100 million and somebody that makes $1 million. And so I'm going to do things a little bit different on this podcast than I normally do. I wanted to make sure, because you're a data driven guy. We can talk all day about stuff, but I've basically had AI analyze what we're doing and what we're, how we're changing everything. Is we're having data analyze these 450 million text messages that we've sent out over the past 6 or 7 years. Right. This is stuff that I didn't like know I was going to be able to do anything with. I had the 450 million text messages sitting in my database, but I didn't know how I was going to do that. What was I going to sit and read through these and figure this out? But AI came out and I just said, AI, tell me, read this stuff and come up with stuff. So this podcast will be the first time that we're kind of using, instead of me just talking about the importance of this stuff, we'll go into actually what the AI is telling me about this data.
Let's do it.
So at the beginning, we talk about the three most important things. Words, we've talked about that. Cadence and channel. Those are the three things. Words, and then how we deliver the words is is the most important thing, right? So we can talk a little, and it'll be a little bit awkward because this is all new stuff. This is all brand new, but we're going to go into it together.
Let's be awkward together. It's all good, yeah.
what we're finding, and this is some of this stuff will be super obvious, but it's good to hear because it's good to hear to go, oh, it's been validated that the obvious thing is the right thing, right? And so, because people will sometimes think, well, there must be some secret to this. And it's like, well, actually, it's not that big of a secret. It's just you need to do it. Number one, right now, especially, and I think this is going to get more and more, people are craving actual human interaction. People are starved for like old school communication. Like we are over automating to our businesses to death. And so the more markety our messages sound, the more likely we are not going to get a response. So the simple answer to the actual words, and this is where you start, is that they should be conversational. Every message, every text message that you send to your leads should be conversational. If you're sending out messages, people automatically go to like these marketing blasts where they go, The next 20 people that sign up for a, you know, an inspection will get free, whatever, sign up here. That's a marketing piece. And you just destroyed the power of text messaging by using that kind of language. And so how much more effective is it if you go, hey, it's Ryan with Wasatch Roofing. We were in your neighborhood the other day. You talked to one of my guys. I just wanted to make sure you got what you needed. we're going to be back in the neighborhood. Anything like that instead of a, we're in the neighborhood, next five people, you know, the carnival barker versus a conversation.
It feels like someone's actually reaching out to me. Even though I might even know that it's automated, I feel more like someone actually might be talking to me.
100%. Okay. 100%. And so there's two ways we do this. You never use we. So you're not going to say, we're going to be in the neighborhood. We're doing this. We're doing a special. We're doing this. I, me, when you're talking to the person. So it's just me and you. Just me and you having a conversation. Think of it like this. Everybody's like super distracted by marketing constantly. We have our phones. We have all this stuff hitting us all day, every day. I think, I don't know what the stat is. I think, you know, you've heard it where it's like the average person consumes like 2,000 pieces of marketing a day or something.
Right? It's getting crazy is what it is.
It's getting crazy.
It's getting wild.
So just imagine they're in a room with 1,000 people yelling at them. Please look at my thing. Please look at my thing. Please look at my thing. What text messaging allows us to do is it allows us to put our arm around that person, walk them out of the room and close the door and have a quick conversation with them before they go back into the noise. Because when you open your text message app, there's no distractions there. It's just that, right? It's just the conversation. So we've pulled them away from all the noise, and now we have the opportunity to have their attention, but we only have it for a second. So we have to be very conversational, be very, and there's an emotional feeling when you get a text message, and it should match that. So when they feel good and they open it, we don't want to bring them down at that point with a spammy marketing message, right? We want to bring them up. And so there's two ways. We say instead of we, and we say their name in the first sentence, almost every single text message, every single opener, not obviously during a conversation, but every time we open a conversation with somebody, we're going to say their name. You've read this in, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, whatever. The people's favorite word in the English language is their first name. And so the moment that they're addressed with their first name, we have a really high chance of connecting. We want to avoid anything like, I don't want to bother you. We don't want to sound weak at all. They've requested information. We're in charge of this. We want to take charge of the conversation. We want to lead them through a funnel. You know, in business as well as anybody, the more freedom you give a customer to do what they want, the more they'll take advantage at any stage. Like a customer after, if a contractor goes, hey, we'll do anything you want, just tell us what you want, it's going to be,
I don't know what I want.
yeah. But if the contractor comes in and says, these are your three options, pick one, right? You're going to have a way better time than going, do whatever you want. So it's the same in sales and at the beginning. We're not going to say what time works best for you. We're going to say, I have time tomorrow or Thursday. What day works best?
Yeah.
Thursday. Okay, great. I have a 2 o'clock and I have a 9 a.m., right? And then we're telling them to pick from one to two, sometimes three options, and that's it. I learned this from like getting into this world where I'm in software. I meet with investors and people that make, you know, billions of dollars. And these guys, if anybody has a low attention and low opportunity, and if I go to an investor and I say, hey, what do you think about this? They're going to go, I don't know. You tell me. And you go, oh, shoot. Okay. So now I have to go and I go, look, you have three. These are the three things. What's your quick, what's your temperature on these? I like number two. Cool. We'll go with number two. It's like, that's how fast it has to be. And so that's what the same principle. We have their attention for just a minute. If we leave them to have to think about things for too long, we're going to kill the opportunity. So we need to guide them through the sales process. Hopefully that helps a little bit there.
It does. One thing I've always been a believer in is if I'm sending a text message, I end it with a question mark. Do you have any data or thoughts on that? And so I'm always kind of like demanding a response. So if I just give them a statement like, hey, you know, we're in your area, this is what we're doing, let me know if you want to chat.
Yes, I have okay. So again, we could just talk about it, but I have the data, right? Okay. So questions beat statements, according to the AI, and we all know this, but would Tuesday or Wednesday work? We already said that. Would Tuesday or Wednesday work? Not let us know if you're interested. Let us know if you're interested is a guaranteed the game is over, right? So that's like a flip of the language. And then this that tiny that so I want to emphasize that the number one thing that saw like a crazy lift in response rates is what I said earlier about the first name in that thing. So I want to make sure that we're actually validating with data like that. That first name thing, actually we saw extreme higher response rates with just the name. So questions that are not open. I always get these two mixed up. Are
leading,
they
leading questions? You want to ask like a question where you give an option. You're not just open ended and letting them say whatever they want.
Not open ended,
which is very counterintuitive when you think about sales. Because usually you want to ask open-ended questions to find the needs and the objections. But during this tight early stage of follow-up, you actually want to keep it contained within the options that allow you to lead them down your funnel.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And so, and then the thing is to always think in terms of close at the highest level. So you can't close the deal right now, but you can close the next. Okay. So let's say that question is, would Tuesday or Thursday work? We're closing the day, right? We're closing in on the day. So now we're closing at that highest level. Tuesday. Cool. Now what's the next level? The time. Now we close the time. And it's like every step we're closing at the highest level. So we think about closing deals, but what we're closing at each step. And we're locking in a commitment each step of the way. And we start with micro commitments. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So by the time we ask for $1 million, it's a natural progression to that thing. So,
okay. So yeah, I'm just writing notes, but it's like use I statements, use their name, biggest piece, actually, lead the conversation the entire time. So you're knowing where you're taking the next thing. The questions are always about the next little micro commitment you're trying to get them to have. And the questions all lead to basically closing the next step, which is not necessarily the deal. It's just like you said, the date or the time or whatever that small next commitment would be.
That's right.
Anything else big on words that would just be worth discussing in the podcast?
Well, I'll give an actual message that we've pulled. So out of these 450 million text messages, we have a roofing company. With this specific campaign, we have 271 leads. They booked 224 jobs, so they had a really high conversion rate on it. The actual leading text message, so and anybody can get this data from me if you want it. But the copy that converted on that, the first message was, "Hi, first name. Thank you for contacting us at company name. We just received your inquiry about your exterior project. We would love to handle this for you, ! So show some excitement. When would be the best day and time to come for a free estimate?" So that one, even though it's not exactly what we just said, the data is showing. So this, we've got two questions. Again, you could, this is an opening conversation, so you might be a little softer on the question, but the magic is they asked for the appointment immediately and they didn't, there's no pleasantries. We're not asking how they're doing. Nobody cares, right? You requested information. It's not like you're going to be like, "Hey, it's Ryan with Wasatch Roofing. How are you?" "I'm good. What do you want?"
"I'm busy, bro."
Yeah. It's like, no, just go straight into it. You asked for me for something and I'm giving it back to you. Assume you're already in the middle of the conversation. If you look desperate, like, "Please listen to me," they're going to go, "Dude." So, no pleasantries, no selling, just straight into, let's get the first commitment here. So that one's a high closer, and that's over 270 leads, like I said. So 224 book jobs. So
you're suddenly going to have 1,000 people copy down this word for word message and start to use it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly all the customers are like, everyone's talking the same.
And that's something I want everybody to remember. Just because it works now doesn't mean it works tomorrow. There's testing that always has to be done. There's what's the headline that, you know, worked forever?
Quick question.
Headlines in like marketing where it's like, this one secret. Okay, let's talk about roofer. Roofer's like this. Could you handle 5 more jobs this month? Remember that line? Hey, I just wanted to ask if you could handle 5 more jobs this month. These lead generator guys. Right. And then next thing you know, there's messages going out to roofers. Every single roofer is getting a message like 10 times a day that says, "Could you handle 5 more jobs this month? Could you handle this?" And so that line, believe it or not, that line made somebody millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then it died because everybody's like, "Dude, all right already with this." And so just know that these things that we talk about are they're fluid. It's always changing. You always be testing and improving. The whole, I don't know if that pest control company still does that for that same line. People might be going, yeah, I get it. You're doing my neighbors. I get it. Whatever. You know, you've told me that 1,000 times. So just remember that it's a constant change. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk cadence. So we've got our first message. Maybe we've got a few of our messaging sequences dialed in. We start to see through the data what works best. What is the right timing? What is the right follow through to make sure that we're doing this in the right cadence? Do we message within 5 minutes? Then do we message an hour later, 2 days later? Like what's the, how do we set up our cadence and figure out the right cadence for our follow-up?
So again, this is something to be tested because it's, and this is something to think about too. Even regional causes different things, right? Mm-hmm. So what might work in Texas might not work in New York, right? You have different people, different speeds of life. So you have to test, but let's go to kind of what the data just averages out. But it's usually more than what most people think. Most people come to me and they go, yeah, I follow up with my leads, once or twice or three times. It's not enough. In fact, I would argue that 12 to 18 touches is how much you want to do. Okay. And that's not necessarily 12 to 18 text messages. That could be 12 to 18 touch points. That could be a few text messages, a few emails, maybe a voicemail sprinkled in here and there. And that can also count for like somebody seeing your billboard or the truck, your van, you know, or different things. So these kind of touch points all lead to the close. But a strong cadence on minimum is 5 over 21 days. This is according to the data. I would argue that it could be more, but data's arguing with me, so that's one thing. We'll actually go to that same campaign that we just talked about, the roofing one. They've got 8 touches over 45 days. So they've got day one, 12 hours later. So if it's in the evening, the next morning. Day 2, day 7, day 14, day 21, day 30, day 45. That's a pretty good cadence, but let's talk about less about the cadence and more about why the words within the cadence are more important than the actual cadence.
Sure.
So you're never following up on the previous text message. This is a really important one. A lot of people think that follow up is calling or texting and saying, hey, I'm following up. If you say following up in your follow up, you're not following up. You're doing it wrong. So don't ever use the words follow up in your follow up. And you should add value with each text. So each touch, this is the data. I'm gonna tell you what AI said. Each touch earns the next. Touch 2 is new information about their season, not a follow up to touch 1. So most teams front load 3 messages in 48 hours, then go silent. Prospect feels chased, then forgotten. Do the opposite of that. Don't chase the lead. Saying I'm following up is just going, hey, remember me? Remember me? Remember me? Come on, let's do this. Come on. It's self-serving. But if you're adding value, what I did with the windshield repair course, I wouldn't say, hey, I'm following up. I would say, check out Julie. She started her windshield repair course or business, and she made this much money. Here's a cool video. Notice I didn't ask any like, what did you think about that video I sent you yesterday? It's none of that. It's like new valuable information. And so think of that in terms of when you're talking about the benefits of your service, what more can you add in your follow-up to say, by the way, did you know that when you get your roof replaced, like this can happen or this, or when you know, did you know that right now there's a tax benefit for this or that? And there's little value that you can add to build the sale rather than just please do business with me, you know? and the point of follow-up is already happened. We've already texted them. So we don't, and they're already reading the text. So we've already done the job of following up. We don't want to repeat it and go, hey, I'm just following up. We already did that. Now move into, okay, let's keep going. And then they go, oh, you know what? Yeah, shoot. I need to do that. And so most of the time we're not having to convince people to do the thing. We're just getting them at the right time. They usually want to do it. It's just a matter of staying in front of them long enough to finally get them to go, okay. Yes. I need to do that thing and actually take the time to do it.
Yeah. I call it like building your way up their priority list. Like they've got bigger priorities in life that's going perfect. On. You're priority number 200 the first time you talk to them. Next time, maybe it's priority number 50. Maybe it's number priority number 10. And finally, it's priority number 6. And they're ready to actually engage because they can only I'm a customer. I'm actually getting my roof done this year. It's like I can only handle so many priorities in a given day or a week or a month. I know my roof has to get done. But I also know I got to get my kids to school. I also know I have to hit some goals in my business this week. I also know that I got to, you know, go take my wife out so she doesn't hate me. Like I've got other things. And so I just like, I throw it off, especially things that I know I can get done eventually, but it doesn't have to happen tomorrow. And so I'll just throw it off usually more than I should. But as a customer, it's just, it's like, it's not my priority yet, even though it's a need that I know I have to get done.
I'm stealing that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Man.
Build your way up the priority list. That is... If anybody listens to that, that's gold because that is the one shift you can make in your mindset about follow up. It's like you're not, it's not that they don't want you. It's not that they don't want the service. It's that they just need to be, you need to get them at the right time and it's going to happen. It's going to happen over that period of time. You could text somebody right after they got in a fight with their wife and they look at it and they go, you know. But the next day they might be on cloud nine and you text them again and it's like, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Time is right. Let's go. So don't ever poke at them like, hey, come on, I'm here. Hello. That's annoying. You know, provide value and the follow-up happens automatically.
So. And what you're talking about matters because I think a lot of people do stop following up because they think they are bugging the customer. And I think they are bugging the customer if it's always just about, are you ready now? Are you ready now? Are you ready now? But if you're building the relationship and bringing value, you can, like, I've been calling my friends for 20 years. They still will pick up the phone because I'm building the relationship and building value with my friends. But if I'm treating my customer differently, it's like, I just want something from you. Then yeah, 3 or 4 follow-ups in, you're going to annoy your customer. And now you can't have that ability to literally follow up for you. Tell me, but like a year potentially, like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Longer? So what's cool about automating this process is, you know, you're more aggressive up front, obviously, because the people have raised their hand. They've said, I'm interested in this product or service, and you want to get them as fast as possible in that state. But there's going to be the ones that don't do it. And so it's just a sunk cost, right? It's like I paid for that lead and it's gone. But with automation, we can send a text message once every 3 months, once every 6 months. And you're not going to get all of them, but every now and then, and quite often actually, we get a message back from somebody 6 months later, like, hey, you reached out to us 6 months ago. I know you're probably busy at the time. Things get crazy. I totally get it. But I wanted to check in and see if that project you're working on is still something you're looking at doing. We get a lot of times where somebody goes, you know what? It's time. And I was gonna start looking for it. You know, it's like, oh, cool. And you re-engage. And basically that $200 lead that you paid for 6 months ago is a lead again, a brand new hot lead again. And it costs you the penny that it costs to send out a text message. Right. And so it's like, there is people dramatically underestimate the value of their existing database and the leads that they already have in their pipeline because they're letting them just die and just become sunk cost. And it should be something we're revisiting and reviving regularly. So
way back before automation was ever a thing, I remember every year, January, February, March, when we were in our off season and painting, because we were doing usually exterior, we would call through all of our past leads, all of our past estimates, and even all of our past jobs up to 5 to 7 years in past like data.
Right.
And 15 to 20% of our year-end work would come from that early stage reactivation of all of our old lists. And it was just like a routine we all had to do. I learned it when I was a franchisee. I taught my franchisees how to do it. And to this day, it's like, it's a habit that I'm now in, which is great. But I realized how few people actually do that. And I'm like, are you nuts? Yeah. How much did you spend on getting those leads in the first place? And they're all people that at one point indicated they needed your service. So they probably needed it at some point.
We have guys that'll be like, oh, I'm struggling to get business. And we go, okay, how many contacts do you have in your database? Oh, 30,000. 30,000 people. What are you talking about? Everything you'll ever need is sitting right there. You have enough to nurture that forever. There'll always be people within that 30,000. You have basically what we call a self-licking ice cream cone. It is like, it just keeps doing the thing. And it's like, if you know what you're doing, you can always harvest from your existing database. And so And that's just a matter of reaching out. And people, it, like, kudos to you. People are not willing to do that. And that's where I, that's where, you know, automation comes in, because you're going, we sat and we called these old people.
It's hard to get people to do that. January, February, March.
It's like, now it's like, hey, just put that list in here and send out 100 text messages in 10 seconds and watch the people respond. So it's, so automation makes that part much, much easier. And when you talk about being annoying, I mean, there is a level where we want to be a little bit annoying. It's like, I don't know if you know anything about, like, I hate this business model, but, you know, we have MLM, you know, people. And the reason people aren't successful at MLM is because they're not willing to be the annoying person.
Right.
And they're not going to be the guy that, you know, calls their friends. And so the people that have all the audacity to call all their friends 100 times, they're the ones that are successful in that business. And we can take something from that, and we can adopt that a little bit and go, you know, I'm not willing to be the annoying person, but the robot is. The robot's willing to do the follow-up. Think of it like this. Like, how many times have you been like, well, if they want it, they'll text me back. Yeah. If they want it, they'll do it. And it's like, if you leave that to a human, the human will allow those little emotions to creep in and block them from doing the annoying text that needs to be sent. And the cool thing about robots is they just do the thing you tell them to do. So if you say follow up for 14 days, it'll just do it, and it won't ever go, well, I don't know, I kind of feel weird right now. You know, it's like, it'll just do the thing. And then you have data and it works and it's cool.
And away you go. It's actually interesting how much the mindset of the individual actually impacts the result of the phone. Now, I'll tell you something really weird, dude. I did so much follow-up back in the day that was actually manual. And I remember my mindset around, like, oh, people don't need to hear from me right now. I'm bugging people. The actual pickup rate went lower. I didn't even talk to them yet. But somehow I had less people pick up in the times that I was more negative in my mindset than when I was more positive in my mindset. It was very fascinating to me. Have you seen this before?
If you want to get into the woo-woo weird, so I'm all about the weird universe, the attraction and all the weird stuff that it's like, hey, like, we basically decide our futures based on our mindset and our attitudes. And it's like if our attitude is they're not going to pick up and they're going to be upset, that happens. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. And so if you go into this going, oh, it's not going to work, blah, this is, you know, it's like, yeah. It's not going to work. That's how, once you learn that the universe does what you tell it to do, then you know, you go, oh, if I just am positive, then positive things happen. Holy cow. And yeah, so we can go, that's another subject for another podcast, but I'm all about the believing that things are going to happen. And then they just all of a sudden just start happening. So
I just found it fascinating because I actually tracked how many people would pick up per hour doing 100 calls an hour. And when I was negative in my mindset, it was significantly lower than when I was positive. And that my mindset isn't impacting the call because they haven't even picked up yet. It was just pure pickup rate. So anyway, food for thought for everybody. Ryan, you get it.
The universe does what you tell it to do every time. So, okay. And obviously from an emotional, from what you actually believe and do, not just, hey, universe, give me $1 million right now. That's not what I'm talking about. But your belief, if we want to get into God and faith, all that, that's all leads to how things work. And it's like, if you see them, you see the guys that make billions of dollars, they are very positive believers of magical things. And all of the guys that I've met that have made, I have several friends that are in the 10 figure, that's billion, right? 10 figure, 10 figure range. Every one of them knows that there's something going on that they don't know about. And if they are negative, negative things happen. If they're positive, positive things happen. They believe in that stuff. And I do too. It's worked for me, and I do a lot of money. So
there's an undeniable pattern that you can't.
It's a pattern. You just go, I don't know what it is, but I know it's there and it works. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's move into channel a little bit. So text, we've talked a lot about text, and I think there's a reason why we just did. So text, phone, email, use of video in some of that. What's the right channel to be using when? What's the data say on this? What's your learning on this? What can we take from
that? Yeah, so we often get lumped into this category of being a text message platform. We're an automation platform. texting just happens to currently be the number one channel for communication. And so that's what we focus the automation around. If something comes out that beats text messaging, we'll automate that. but for now, texting does have the highest response rate, has the highest conversion rate, has all the, it's the best, it's the king. The other ones still have their place though, and we can talk a little bit about why. Email being one, and then voicemail, pre-recorded voicemails are powerful. And now we're getting into AI voice. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then I'll drill down a little bit into text messaging and how you can actually get even higher open rates with text messaging. But we have like a 98% read rate on text messages. Nobody leaves their text messages unread. So again, we talk about the importance of words. Text messages allow us to get the words that we're trying to say in front of people the fastest and easiest. So text messaging, great. Email, still really good for certain things. If we want to send informational things, newsletters, more education about certain things, we can send that in an email, but it's also good to pair that email with a text message. So if, like, let's say we want to send an ebook with the benefits of getting a new roof, we would send that ebook in the email, but we would text and say, hey, I sent you an ebook in your email. Did you get a chance to read it? You know, and then they go, oh, I didn't get it. It was in spam. Oh, cool. Check your spam. There it is. Okay. You know, it's like, wow, if I would have just sent it, it would have went to spam and nobody would have ever seen it. But because I sent the text message, they read it. Voicemails offer a different thing, a different emotion, because now we're adding a voice and a human. And this is cool because, like, you're an owner of a company, you're not going to call every single person and follow up with that every single time. It's impossible. But you can pre-record a voicemail and send it to them and just have it show up in their voicemail. And it looks like a missed call. And they go, and it's just like, hey, it's Ryan. Just wanted to let you know that I saw your inquiry. Wanted to let you know that I love providing 5-star service for my customers and I'd love the chance to work with you. Give us a call or text me right back on this number and we can have a conversation, whatever. So that adds a different. So the whole point of all of this is to get the message to what we call, this is where the nerd comes out. So I'm going to be nerdy for a second here. But in our brains, we have a part of our brain called the reticular activator. If you've heard that term before, it's the nerdiest sounding word. Sounds like the scientist on The Simpsons, the reticular activator, if you know who I'm talking about. But
know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he would definitely say that word. But the point of the reticular activator is the part in your brain where you consider something. This would be the exact answer to what you were saying. When it gets to the top of the priority list is when it's in your reticular activator, when you're actually going, okay, I have to do this thing. It's the same if you've ever bought a car. You go and you go, oh, I'm going to buy this car. Nobody has this car. I'm super excited about it. And then you drive home and you see it like 12 times.
Yep.
You're like, whoa, everybody has this car. Crap. I never even saw it before. It's because it's in the part of your brain that's causing you to take action. So all of our messaging is trying to drive our message to the reticular activator. And each channel, text message, email, voicemail, voice, drives it in a different way, different direction, different emotion happens. And it's point, you know, and we call this multimedia. You've heard that phrase. You might see a commercial. You might see a billboard and then you might get a text message and those three things all tie together and it drives it in further. Like, think about it. If you read an email and then a little later you got a text message, you might go, oh yeah, that was that email that I got earlier. And that little extra second of consideration drives the message in further. This is nerdy.
Yeah.
We're getting into some nerdy stuff, but that's the point of multimedia, multi-touch points is to drive that message further.
Ryan, you want me to tell you a really funny story?
Yes.
When I played with this early on in building Breakthrough Academy, that it didn't work, but it was using that methodology. We scraped lists from, you know, using people in the Philippines to have like tens of thousands of contractor contacts. This is when we first started. And we were emailing them all like, hey, you know, so-and-so, I'd love to connect with you about this. Hey, I've got something coming up. And we weren't getting a good response rate because there's a bunch of unnurtured lists that were all scraped from the internet. So we were like, how do we get, to your point, their attention so that we're coming, you know, more to the center of their brain? And we're like, let's send them all snail mail that follows up on our email.
We had the right idea.
I paid a friend of mine to do this, but we like drew up this message. We put it in an envelope. We even personally hand wrote on the envelope, and then that friend of mine had to lick every single one of those.
Then we
finally figured out what a a little like auto licker is, and we sent them out. It didn't work, unfortunately, so we never used it again. But I did get one call from a guy in Spokane, Washington, who actually became a client for a long time, and he's like, "I got your email. And now I've got your mail from you. Who are you?"
Yeah. What in the world? Yeah. You have that's the right idea. Now it's just a matter of finding the right cadence, the right combination of those things.
Totally.
But what's funny is direct mail is making a huge comeback. So just so everybody knows, the mailbox is less crowded than it used to be. And then everybody will hear this. And they'll do it, and then it'll become crowded again, and then we'll go back to email, and then everybody will be in email for a little while, and it's just funny how everything works like that in marketing. But so the different touch points, different cadences, different channels provide this just more emotion around the process.
And I wrote some notes on this too. Like basically in summary, like text is to help you get responses. Email is to help send assets, and voicemail is another personalized layer that you can add on.
That's a good way to put it. Yep. And that voicemail, that personalized layer can mean all the difference, because you might've sent 4 text messages and they've kind of created who you are in their head. And then they hear a soft, nice voicemail, and it might change the tone of who they think you are. Because we can, no matter how hard we try in our text messages, you've sent a text message to your wife that you thought was going to be deciphered one way, and it was deciphered a completely different way.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You go,
I was clear.
How in the world did you get that from that? And that happens in our messages and text messages. So the voice can then temper that. You don't want to call and sound like a jerk, by anything. Yeah. You want to be, friendly, and you want to smile. People can hear a smile. So, for sure smile when you do the recordings. So, and then we can get into AI voice, and I'll talk about AI voice. Do we have time?
We can keep going. This is great. Let's keep going.
So AI voice to me, I'm not a fan. I'll just come out straight up. I'm not a fan, but technology is moving that way. And so we have to embrace the things that are working. We have to do the thing. So I generally say use AI voice with the mindset of I'm using it to enhance my existing employees, not replace them. My goal is never to say, hey, sign up for my software or my process, because now you can fire all your friends and run a business by yourself. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to eliminate jobs. I'm trying to turn humans into superhumans that can just accomplish more with their time. And so when I look at AI voice, and I don't like the companies that are coming out going, fire all your CSRs.
We've tried one to ourselves and we got rid of it. Didn't work well.
I think the key to AI voice is to use it sparingly when you need it to as an interceptor, as a backup plan, but not as the front of your office. And you should announce to the person answering the phone that it is AI. If you are starting your relationship off with a lie, you're setting yourself up for long-term reputation damage. And so if you pick up the phone, you have to train your AI to not lie, to say, yeah, I'm a human. No, seriously, I'm a human. Mm. Like, don't do that. You want it to say, hi, this is Ryan's AI assistant, or I'm Ryan, the AI assistant here at Wasatch Roofing. And then you immediately say, if at any point during this conversation you need to talk to a real human, please press 1 or let me know, or whatever you want to do to say that thing, so that they know, like, okay, cool. If this bugs me, I can get to a human, because a lot of people are bugged with it. And I think it's going to get to a point. I think we're going to get to a point where people go, you know what? I'm not willing to do business with somebody if they can't answer the phone as a human being. And people go, well, you can get AI to the, this is where I get into the woo-woo universe stuff again. Sure. And you already said it. You already said that my mindset before I even call. So I had somebody arguing with me. They're like, my AI sounds like you can't tell the difference between a human. And my thing is I think as we go into this world of AI, as things start to fool us, you know how a blind guy can walk through the streets and like make his way around? Like he knows, it's like so amazing to see a blind guy like get maneuver. And it's like, I think we as humans are going to start to develop some inner sensory that's going to go, it sounds exactly like a human, but some feeling is telling me that it's not, and I don't like it.
Yeah, there's like, and the human nature is gone. Off. Yeah, human nature is gone.
Yeah. So I think the people that are arguing that, oh, we can make AI exactly sound exactly like a human, I think that that's, I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that. That's still universe weird stuff, but I'm a believer in that. So use it sparingly. Let people know that it's AI. Don't ever try to lie about it. Use it for missed calls. If you're gonna miss a call, have it answer. That's one way to do it. I think a better missed call process. We like to just immediately text the lead within 10 seconds and just say, sorry, we missed your call. We can handle you, or you can book right here. That's a better, we've had contractors make millions of dollars just by sending that text on a missed call. And then after hours, weekends, great. Allow it to answer the phone and then take it through the process. So AI voice is good, but I would say don't treat it as a replacement. The last thing I would say, and this is where text messaging, I talked a little bit earlier about how we get a higher response rate in text messaging. Yep. Is we've now automated. We're the first ones in the trades, I believe, unless somebody's doing it else. But we automate iMessage now, blue messaging. So this is huge. We're seeing 50% higher, in some cases, response rates to blue messages versus green messages. Wow. Apple knew what they were doing. They made blue a very soothing color. They made the green just an ugly green. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. And people see that and they see more trust. We're able to do more with the iMessaging. We don't have to put reply stop to opt out because it's not an actual text message. It's an iMessage. You can't blast people. There's a lot of ways. This is more for new leads and then nurture on new leads, not for broadcasting lists or anything like that. But on lead conversion, when a lead comes in with a blue message, if we start the conversation with, hi, Kathy, it's Ryan. Or no. This is the best opening text message with iMessage. Hi, it's Ryan with Wasatch Roofing. I saw that you requested information about getting your roof prepared. Just wanted to confirm, this is Kathy, right? Now what happens is in the iMessage at the top, it says maybe Ryan. You ever seen that on your phone?
I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe Ryan. And that is way better than a phone number. So maybe Ryan. And then they respond Kathy. And now you have a gray and blue. Yes, it's Kathy, a gray and blue conversation. And what's cool is we can do all the iMessage stuff. Like we can send videos that are much clearer. At that point, I like to send a video. I like to introduce myself right away to my leads. We're starting to get into where we can send like the congratulations when they book an appointment, where it sends like the
confetti,
the balloons blow up, different things like that. And it creates just more personalized, more emotion, and it feels much, much less spammy. And so we see much higher response rates. So we've got a system, we've partnered with a company. They actually get an iPhone for each and every company that we sign up, and they set it up in a warehouse where they have iPhones sitting there, connected to iMessage, and our system is pinging those iPhones and sending the messages at the right times. And so it's actual physical, like
how many system. iPhones do they have in this warehouse?
Hundreds of iPhones. And so you can get an iMessage for an iMessage line for your business and automate this follow-up. It's really cool. So that's one of the ways that we can increase response rates on text message. That's very subtle. It's like, who would have thought just the difference in color would make such a difference. So, but 50% higher response rate, that's not something to,
that's massive,
you know, turn your head at. So, those would be, like I said, I have mountains and mountains of data on this. We have all the biggest, not all, we have t- tons of huge contractors, the biggest garage door company in the world, the biggest HVAC companies in the world, tons of roofing companies, all these different. And we're seeing hundreds of millions of dollars of sales happening in real time through these text messages. And so if all this stuff we talked about, and this is where I can go into my pitch a little bit if anybody's interested.
Dude, I think people should know how to connect with you. So.
All the stuff we just talked about, you can learn it and do it, and that's great. I want you to take away from this everything. But I also think that you should just be the best contractor there is and not try to do this stuff as well and allow somebody who's focused. I focus 100% of my effort on that bridge, on bridging the gap between lead and deal, right? That's mm-hmm. That's my life work is around that. And your life work is around putting roofs on like a pro, and doing or changing out an HVAC system. And we need good contractors to do the good thing. I find it funny that like these HVAC companies are coming out to us and they're going, well, dude, I'm a good HVAC guy. I didn't realize I was going to have to be like a social media expert and do like these stupid like clown acts on reels to get customers. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, you shouldn't have to like be a social media expert. You shouldn't have to do these lame, you know, TikToks and reels, like allow like the people that are focused on that to do that. You focus on being a good contractor. And so what we have a program. We're not just a software company. We're a whole program where you get assigned a coach. He's an automation coach. He takes you through our three strategies. We have three strategies that have all these tactics that we've talked about in this business. We have lead conversion, estimate rehash, customer loyalty. So those three high level strategies are everything. Everything we talked about fit within those. And we look at your business and we find the low hanging fruit. Where could we increase conversion rates and plug holes along the customer journey, right? Where are you contacting your leads within a minute? Speed to lead is everything, especially in home improvement. Speed to lead is like 1 minute. If you aren't contacting your leads, you're dropping off half of your leads within that second minute. I'll give you one example, and then I know I'm being very long-winded here, but I'm here. I called a company the other day to get a DEXA scan. DEXA scan is where you go in and they scan your body and then they tell you you're fat. That's what a DEXA scan is.
That's what they tell you every time.
Yeah. And they're very disappointing. But I called one. I Googled it. There's one 10 minutes from my office. There's another one 10 minutes from my office, both the same distance. They both had 5-star reviews, all the same. I call the first one. He doesn't answer. It goes to voicemail. I hang up. I call the second one. They answer. I have a quick conversation and I book it and I hang up the phone and I receive a text message from the first guy. Sorry, I missed your call. Do you want to still get booked? I'm like, I'm already booked. Literally 2 minutes. It took me 2 minutes to book and it took him 2 minutes to send the text message. That's how quickly you're losing deals if you're not contacting leads within 1 minute of either lead submission, missed call, whatever it is. Angie leads. We have huge data on Angie leads. You want to close Angie leads? Contact them within a minute and follow up consistently. That's the key to Angie leads.
It goes back to that principle around priority list, because like I have 5 minutes to make a couple of quick calls between whatever's happening in my day. And I need to get this thing done. And then once I'm done those 5 minutes, I got to jump to the next thing. So if I can get something done in those 5 minutes, done. Now my priorities are moving on to other things. So
my marketer just came up with a cool line. Let's see if I still remember it. He said, if you wait more than 3 minutes, they're already on the phone with another contractor and your callback is no longer a convenience. It's an interruption.
Right.
You went from being a convenience like to an inter. You're now interrupting this person who's solving their problem like within 3 minutes. So make sure very, very quickly. So like I said, we look at these in your business. The coach is going to look through and go, okay, cool. Let's start here. And we're going to start plugging holes and adding automation to your business. We don't do it all at once because that's impossible to do, but we find ways to plug holes. And what I try to do and what we think we've been very successful with a lot of customers is we create a relationship that's beyond just here's your software, good luck. It's here's the software and here's an expert who's good. It's like kind of like hiring an expert in-house, but they're here and they're trained and they know what they're doing. We have all the data and we use all this data to build these cadences and these processes in your business.
It's amazing.
That's what I do.
Ryan, I thoroughly enjoyed this podcast. There's like so much in here that is just like, just pause and re-listen and like take the transcript and have AI help build you a strategy out of this. Cause like, this is gold, dude. So jam packed of nuggets.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of people enjoy hearing this and listening to this and utilizing this. So if people want to reach out to you, Chirp, we're going to put your link in the description. It's not, you're not hard to Google. You're easy to find. I'm sure a lot of people will come and chat with you about this because you know what you're doing, my friend. So
do a demo. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Do a demo with us. It's really cool. Like I have a really cool team. They're set up to, do like a low pressure, like let's walk through all the cool things that we can accomplish. It's Chirp with two I's, C-H-I. You'll send the link, but chirp.com. Add me on Facebook too as a friend. I'm 43. That's old now, right? That's like,
yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, we're coming.
We're getting there. So I'm 43. So I still do Facebook. It's weird that people go, oh, old people are on Facebook. Like that still is like, it's weird to me. Everybody does Instagram and TikTok now. And I just can't, I'm like, I'm old school.
Song and dance.
I got it. But I spend a lot of time on Facebook. I put a lot of videos about what I'm doing and how to help, you know, I try to do a lot of free stuff there. So add me as a friend on Facebook. And then book the demo. We'd love to work with you and figure out a way. We work with every type of contractor. We're integrated with lots of different field service management systems, and we can find ways to give you a really good ROI. We like to see at least, I mean, we have companies, Tommy Mello with A1 Garage Door does millions and millions through Chirp. But, you know, a bare minimum, if you're not getting a 10x return on your investment in a Chirp, we're failing. But we see people in the 100x range sometimes doing huge jobs, you know, it's cool to see you send a text message, it costs you a few pennies and they close a $100,000 remodel job or something. You're like, dude, well, yeah, that was worth it. So hit us up. Let's figure out a way to work together.
No, I'm stoked to have you on this podcast. The art of follow-up, it's something that I think gets talked about very broadly. And today, I think we went in and nerded out in a way that very few will. So thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Thanks awesome, for having Ryan. Me, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. I'll let you get back to it. Everyone, get back to your week.
Have a great week, guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.